Recorded June 1st, 2011, episode 21. This is the Online Marketing and Communications Podcast. Hello, everyone. It's John Buskell back again from Jontus Media, talking to you from Stockholm, Sweden, where the temperature is 24 degrees today. I know. It's been such a long, hard winter this year, over 140 days of snow on the ground, that we're celebrating every day of sunshine, I think, this summer. This is the show where I look at online communications and marketing, helping you to use the web to grow your business. Well, before we get on with today's show, I'd just like to apologise for the sound. First of all, I've been trying to get a compressor gate limiter to work to reduce hiss and improve things here a bit, and I haven't got anywhere. And my friend Dave Thackeray over at inspiradio.com has been giving me some tips, but hopefully we'll fix that. Anyway, in today's show, I'll be talking to my friend James Royal Lawson. And I talked to James about 17 or 18 episodes back. But James has just launched a podcast called the UX Podcast. That's User Experience Podcast. With a friend, Per Axbom. And what I wanted to do is, if you've been thinking about starting a podcast for your business, you know, how do you get to that first episode? So if instead of speaking to an established podcaster who's probably long forgotten how they started, really, I thought I'd talk to James, who's just released episode one along with Per. So, well, I got together with James in Stockholm and we talked about how they got started. And of course, talking in a cafe in Stockholm, you get all the background noise, and it could be better, but I think the discussion's worth listening to, and I hope you'll enjoy it. So what's the idea of the show?
The idea of the show is that one of the things that we heard an awful lot about in the UX conference in Lisbon was that user experience people want to break down the silos that exist between all the different areas of competence that's needed to do good web stuff or user experiences. A little bit from the viewpoint that UX is the right one and all the rest of them need to learn how we work so we can include them. But we thought our podcast is intending to break down those silos and go beyond them. So it's aimed at web and UX professionals to cross that silo and broaden out.
Mm. And where are you hosting the podcast?
That's a good question and something that I'm really pleased with what we've done there. We've done the whole thing with Posterous. Posterous is a blogging platform. Basically, it's built on the idea that it should be really simple to blog. So you can post your blog posts via email. You can log in. You can do it via an app. You can do it via the website. You can do group blogs. You can have several blogs. It's a really nice little platform. But I'd never considered it as a podcasting platform prior to when we talked about this. Discuss what we're going to do with this.
I mean, I was amazed when I heard you say Posterous. I've never, ever, and I've done a lot of research on podcasts, I've never heard anyone talk about it.
No, I hadn't thought about it. But when I did, after we discussed it and came up with the idea, I then experimented a bit, because, of course, I wanted to know really how this works. Is it going to do what I need to? With the thinking of, the RSS feed, then, with the RSS feed, how is it going to work with distribution? How is it going to work with a player on page? How is it going to work with iTunes? All my kind of web management things start coming up in my head straight away when I hear the suggestion. There is actually some help on Posterous's site itself, telling you how you can use it for podcasts.
Really?
Yeah, which I found that page and was really pleased that they themselves were encouraging you to do it. And they'll give you some
really
tips.
Interesting. So Posterous, it's free, and is there a limit on the amount that you can host?
Nope.
And is there a limit on the amount of downloads?
Nope.
Because typically, if you...
They're after building their user base. It's another one of these startups that I'm not completely sure they know exactly how they're going to get their money.
Yeah.
But at the moment, they're building their user base, which means, ride the wave, get in there.
Because when I looked into hosting podcasts, the standard answer is don't host it on your web host. Mm. Because if the show gets popular and you get 1,000, 2,000 downloads, you get hit with a really big bill.
Yeah.
And
or it doesn't work. Again, especially if you're using like a local provider who's, some guys that are running a couple of servers, which works fantastically when you're a certain size. But it doesn't always scale as quick as you need to.
No, exactly. I mean, I host my podcasts on Libsyn.
Yeah.
Libsyn.com, which, I mean, I find them an excellent service because they take care of your RSS feed to get that through to iTunes to make sure it updates. It's very easy to add pictures to your podcast. So
here, but here though, we've got everything integrated on one site. We've got uxpodcast.com posted. Well, that's pointing to Postgres. And then you can do pages, you can build your template up, you can build your little site up, and these podcast posts become just one post on the site. And what we've done additionally is we've added FeedBurner as the RSS source, because FeedBurner itself is good at distributing podcasts.
And are you sending that the FeedBurner URL to iTunes, so
yeah,
iTunes is picking
that
up?
Then, yeah, from what I understand, I didn't do this bit, but what I learned was that after your podcast has been published for a while, you then can register it with iTunes.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Number of hours or something, I think.
Yeah,
it is.
That's right. You release your podcast and you log into iTunes.
Yeah.
You have to have iTunes. You log into iTunes and you add a feed for a podcast.
Yeah.
And depending on how quickly Apple is working,
yeah,
it picks it up sooner or later.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that people who start podcasting can be a bit, you know, thrown by is that they release their podcast, they know the RSS feed has gone out there, and it's not immediately available for download on iTunes. Mm. iTunes can take, you know, I've even seen it up to 2 days,
yeah,
3 days before a podcast is available there.
Yeah.
Although, in my experience with my own podcast, they've been available almost instantaneously.
Mm.
So
yeah, and it's also, I think it's relevant to go into your FeedBurner settings and turn on the now I've forgotten the actual name of the setting, but it's the pub setting that's in FeedBurner that syndicates it faster to places, and that means that it probably will end up in iTunes maybe a bit quicker.
So you're doing the hosting through Postgres.
Yep.
You're distributing the podcast through iTunes. Anywhere else?
Well, the website itself.
Mm-hmm.
It offers, you can subscribe to a Postgres blog in a number of ways, because Postgres itself is a social network.
Mm-hmm.
They encourage you to join up and to follow blogs and to follow things. So you can subscribe, by all the normal methods there, like email or by being on Postgres or by RSS or by iTunes. It's up to you.
Now, you used the equipment that you had.
Pat
had a MacBook and he'd got a USB mic that you could share. And you recorded it in your office, which was already soundproof, which is an amazing thing to have.
We could do the next one of these there.
That would be great, because I'm sure there will be quite a bit of background noise here.
Yes.
But, so you got the original. What about software? Did you do any research for editing, or did you just went with GarageBand that was pre-installed on his MacBook?
Yeah. As far as not being the Mac person, then I don't know the details of that, but I'm pretty sure it was GarageBand that they used.
Okay, so Pat did the editing, yeah?
Yeah. That was the deal there. His MacBook, he does the editing afterwards.
I mean, I would say that, and I've been through all the editing suites, audio editing suites on the Mac platform, and I find that Adobe Audition, which is just out from beta now in a full version for the Mac, is excellent, and the PC I hear is really good. But I mean, it's very, very expensive. We're talking, off the top of my head, I think it's in the region of about $300, but down to the free versions like Audacity, which is, you know, open source, very, very nice, and GarageBand. I mean, all these products are a good entry into getting into podcasting. And one of the things that I find is that the better quality gear you start out with, you're going to sound better, you're going to feel more inspired to keep going, but at the same time there is a considerable outlay in starting a podcast.
Well, I think not just money-wise. I mean, you can do it quick and dirty, like we've talked about. And like what we've done is using, we didn't buy anything specially for the first pilot edition. So we said to ourselves, you know, first one we'll call a pilot and see, you know, how it works, and maybe we pull it off. But one thing was a non-monetary cost was it took us in general longer to do the whole podcast than we kind of thought it might do.
Mm.
And if you still have that quick and dirty thinking in your head that you can just knock this out in
we'll
half an hour,
just sit down and bash out a podcast.
Yeah, and we'll just put the MP3 up. But Per had to do a fair bit of editing afterwards, just tidy it up, and you know, because we decided we were going to do it in three parts, one podcast, three MP3 files. There was the additional task of adding the intros and outros, which we'd really hugely underestimated how much effort it would be to do the aspects to that, which is find the jingle, find some kind of music.
That's free, and royalty free.
God, yeah, I thought, okay, I mean, I'm sure there's loads of royalty free, you know, free music out there, there's bound to be. And then when you start looking, non-commercial, there's plenty of stuff you can get hold of.
Yeah.
But in our situation, when we're both self-employed web consultants, that it didn't feel like we could get away with using, you know, not for commercial use. That feels wrong. So eventually, I did find a Creative Commons website, because I'd looked and I'd given it, I said, yeah, you need to look now. So I found a Creative Commons website that did allow you to use it. So we grabbed a bit of music, and then we thought, okay, we'll write a little script of what someone's going to say for the intro and outro, and do the same thing for all of them, but say, this is part one, this is part two, this is part three. But rather than have me and Per record it, because you're going to be sick of hearing our voices anyway during the half an hour, we'll get someone else to record it. So we said, well, who? And we said we're going to release it the day after or 2 days after. So we didn't have much time at all from recording to doing all this. So we asked Chris McCann, Letterpress on Twitter, if he could record it. That process of recording his voice took a lot longer than it. He had trouble kind of getting the timings right and getting to fit and so on. So these hidden challenges that, like, you don't really appreciate exactly how much that is.
No, it brings back memory. I mean,
you've got yours, so you just edit yours in when you do it. Yeah?
I mean, I started out using the royalty-free music that came with GarageBand. But then, of course, you hear that on a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
So then I went to Music Bakery, and I basically paid $30 for some, when I made the commitment that I knew this was going to work for me, that I wanted
invested
to
in it.
But I was really lucky, because early on in my with my podcast, after about two episodes, I got two speaking gigs.
Right.
You know, that basically brought in a month's money.
That was your
money,
turn investment.
And I realised that this was a really important medium for me as a consultant and, you know, a business owner.
Mm.
So I really started investing in it and exploring the resources that were out there. So I bought my jingle from Music Bakery. But like you were saying, I suppose it must take me about 4 to 5 minutes for every recorded minute of audio.
Yeah, that makes sense.
To sort of produce. There is a considerable amount of work in. I mean, I started out feeding in the music afterwards, like you guys have done, but then very quickly I realised that if I actually play the music on my Mac into an analogue mixer and record into my digital recorder off the mixer, I can play the music, hit the music, and then I can talk over it and physically record into it.
So you actually do your intro
live,
new, fresh every time?
Live.
Yeah, that was a question I was going to put to you, is because we'd included someone else doing a voiceover in the intro that we were editing in, and then we're doing the podcast. Whereas I know some of yours, you do an intro after the jingle in the podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, is that because it works better for listeners, or is it because it simplifies your editing, or another reason?
I've experimented, and it's still an ongoing process. And I've found that I like to state the date first, you know, recorded May 22nd, and then I hit the music.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that.
And the music comes in. And then I try and set up very, very quickly who this is.
Yeah.
Hi, it's John in Stockholm. And then immediately I state what's in the show.
Yeah.
Because people got back to me and were like, yeah, I really enjoy it. Could you cut down the preamble?
Mm.
So I've tried to have a standardized intro. Mm. But because I put a new date in every time, and because I'm recording live, you know, straight to the hard drive, but actually it's a digital recorder, I find it works best to just, you know, literally mix it live, but I could just as easily record the intro music.
Mm.
But because I'm playing through and it goes straight there, it just feels very natural. And at the end of the show, I use a program called Soundboard. And I just hit a keystroke on my computer and it plays any of my music.
Right, okay, now.
And that, so, you know, I just keep going. And when I'm recording on Skype, the show I make with British canine behaviourist Karen Wild, the Wild Poor Dog podcast, which is at intellidogs.com if you're a dog owner. With that, when we record over Skype, I take the sound from my Mac into the mixing board, and I take my own voice into the mixing board. So I've got these two channels that I then balance in an analog mixer and take the sound out into a digital recorder.
Right.
So it cuts down on the editing. It does. I've got to go and edit a podcast for that this afternoon, and I've recorded the whole show for half an hour and all the stuff is there. Literally, I've just got to go in and maybe clean up a bit of audio
and package it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think what one thing I'm saying now though is the importance of consistency.
Yeah.
With the intro and the preamble, I think we've talked in an email conversation about length of podcasts, that I felt it was important to deliver something or decide that we're going to do these as half an hour.
Yeah.
It's going to be 30 minutes.
Yeah.
It's not going to be more or less. It's going to be 30 minutes. And I want you then to split it up into 3 10-minute chunks. Mm. And I want to do that every month so that people are aware that's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
When I listened to your podcast, I think there was an interview you did a couple of months ago. And it was over half an hour, and I didn't look how long it was, because normally they're around about 20 minutes or so.
Yeah.
And my journey, when I'm working in town, my journey's about 25 minutes, and I knew the fact that if I put a John Busco podcast on, it's going to finish before I get to my desk. And this time it just didn't. And I got to my desk and people are coming up and saying hello to me, and I said, I want to listen to the last 5 minutes of it.
So. Yeah. No, exactly. I do try and limit it. And that was the one show that really went on a bit longer. And I suppose it becomes a judgment. Either you take out some of the content to maintain it at half a specific length, or you leave it over. And I think that's the difference between podcasts and radio, that a radio fits into a particular slot. And sometimes with podcasts you can, but my aim is, you know, I start looking at the clock to try and wrap things up.
Yeah.
And I think myself, the shows that I enjoy listening to.
I think there's another little tip that we found really useful. I'm actually picking up my tablet now.
And it's an Android.
It's an Android tablet that I'm picking up to show what. And one thing that we did is when we were recording me and Pear in my studio, I had a stopwatch application on the tablet with 9 minutes programmed in. And this is a full screen application which had the time ticking down.
Brilliant.
We had that on a shelf in front of us, so all the time we were talking we had this clock which saying, you know, how much was left, and 9 minutes we took giving us 1 minute for intro and outro.
Brilliant.
What I forgot to do the first time though, and this added to Pear's editing, I forgot to turn off the alarm that signals when it gets to zero, and it wasn't a nice one. I'd put the tablet on for silent, but it had this kind of really kind of wake up now, it's time to get up, buzzing alarm that came in just as I was wrapping up. So we had to re-record a 10-second chunk at the end.
I think it's interesting, isn't it, with podcasts, you suddenly become aware of things like interruptions, an email plinging on your computer as you're recording, your mobile's turned off, otherwise you get the buzz, the dog's outside the studio, as I often have. Mm. In a business situation, though, you and I are both, you know, we both have our own businesses. How important do you think it is to keep this balance between keeping it real, a sort of a sense of let's record it straight to the hard drive, all that sort of, because in business everything is so sterile very often, this sort of airbrush professionalism. How do you feel about that? Because in your website, for example, you would be horrified if there was a typo or if it loaded badly or an image didn't work. But in a podcast you'll accept
I see what you mean there with it. Yeah, but at the same time, I'd want it to be. I mean, it would have to be professional. We have to have that professional level to it, and you know, just like a website, you can do something that feels natural and realistic and spontaneous, even if that's what you're after, but still hold a professional feel to it. Like we talked about during lunch before this recording, that you know, attention to details, often that little finishing touch is what makes the big difference.
Yep.
And that applies, I feel, to the podcasts as well as a website or whatever you're doing.
How are you going to avoid that fear that podcasters have of the pod fade?
As in, God, what have I let myself in for? Now I've got to do one of these every month.
Yeah, exactly.
Ever.
Yeah.
Well, so far we said that the first episode's a pilot, and we haven't completely decided yet when episode 2 is. Idea is it's going to be monthly, but we haven't decided yet if we're going to push ourselves to do one more before the Swedish summer break, or if we're going to start up again in August.
I mean, that's an issue is I'm facing too, because I've been much more regular with podcasting this year. I try to get a show out at least every 2 weeks. As I'm seeing more and more return of investment, I'm going to trying to do it a weekly show coming out on a Monday. Yeah. But it's, you know,
it will increase the investment.
It does. I mean, it does. But you know, how does one? I mean, Sweden closes down for the summer, as you and I know. Yeah. And how do you keep the podcast going? Because America, North America, stays open the whole time.
Oh, the whole year, yeah. No, absolutely. And with our podcast, that's the same thing. That it's intended for an international audience. We're speaking English in it. Per himself blogs in Swedish, whereas I blog in English already. You know, next year we'll have that problem for the summer if we're doing it then. But we've said first episode pilot, and then we'll decide when we're going to do it. I'm pushing for a content schedule as well. Then I want to have ideas down on a list of that we can draw on.
Absolutely.
So that we aren't getting to that panic point, you know, 2 days before a podcast.
Absolutely.
What are we going to talk about this time?
So absolutely. I mean, that's one of the things that I say. You know, you've got to have an editorial calendar, an idea of where you're taking the show, what you want to cover, who you want to interview.
But it's not much different from a blog then, in that sense.
Yeah.
I mean, you and I both know as bloggers that you've got a pile of posts that are sat there, not quite finished maybe, but they're ideas, they're things that are not maybe time-bound, they're a little bit more general, that when that day comes, whether it's been too long since the last post, you can just do that quarter of an hour finishing off work and push it out. Mm. And I think that's the same thing, that's my attitude to the podcast as well. I want to, I have five or six subjects down there on our list that we can use and draw on, and then when the other things come up that are more, you know, now that we need to deal with this topic now, we can do that one. We're also going to try and we want to work more on deciding the format. We do this three-part format. The idea was that we'd have more. First bit would be reflection on something, and then the middle bit would be ideas, and the third bit would be more like next steps. Where do we go from here? But now we're looking at maybe altering that, so possibly in the middle segment of an interview with someone. But then that raises the question of, well, if we commit ourselves to a middle section of the interview, that means I've got to find someone to interview every single month.
Exactly.
That increases the workload. So maybe that's something we put, you know, on the list of future ideas rather than something we're going to dive into from episode two.
In other words, what you're saying is, I mean, you've done your pilot, you've gone through the stage of, hey, let's do a podcast, to recording and putting a podcast out there. And now you're faced with issues that are, you know, that everyone that starts a podcast, you know, where's episode two? How often do we release it? Mm. And, you know, you guys are finding your way, finding your feet as you go, same as I've done. Now you've got your first podcast out there. You're working with the show. To someone that's listening, that and I know from the comments that I've got, people have said, oh, I'd like to start a podcast, I just don't know how to get to that first episode. How do you get to that first episode?
Well, as I said earlier on in the podcast, that Per's talked about this with me for a little while, wanting to do a podcast again, especially English one. And I've said to him, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. We'll talk about it. We'll work something out. And he had the domain uxpodcast.com, so he wanted to do something with that, and that was his driving thing. I said, no, well, we've got to have the reason behind it, the strategy's got to be there. Why are we doing it? So it took us till we were sat on a plane together for 4 hours to really properly beat out those things. You know, what is the strategy? What are we trying to do with this? I mean, we've got these ideas, the urge to do it is there. We've got the pieces somewhere there. We just need to put the jigsaw together and really decide, okay, this is why we're doing this. This is what we're going to do. But it felt excellent to have, you know, a mind map at the end of this flight from Stockholm to Lisbon that showed, you know, what our, you know, target audiences were, what the ideas were thinking, the questions that were arising that we need to look into, solve. We'd made concrete plans by the end of that flight.
I mean, you guys were very lucky because you did have, you had a good quality USB microphone. You were able to record with that. I mean, I know there will be people listening who are interested and they don't know where to start. And I think my biggest tip would be to use a dynamic microphone. We're using condenser mics here, but to use in a studio setting, to use dynamic microphones that you record through a mixing desk into a digital recorder for the best sound. Because condenser mics pick up everything in the background if you're going for super audio quality.
I'd actually think, well, one thing I have recorded earlier was my YouTube videos. I've done a few last year. Yeah. I've not managed to do them this year, but I did quick reviews of websites, and that was using my Logitech webcam, which actually has a really good mic built in. Well, at least it's a good mic when I'm sat in my studio at home just by myself. It picks up the audio well. So maybe if you are starting out and you're doing a solo podcast, then maybe it's going to be fine with one of these high-end webcams that's got a good quality microphone built in.
Yeah, absolutely. The Logitech USB mics, as well as the ones on the webcams, you know, they can be very, very good. A good tip is if you've got the wrap-round, I'm not going to say the Britney Spears microphone, but the microphone that just comes around to the side of your face.
The boom.
The mic, if you have the boom slightly to the corner of your mouth, then you cut down on all those...
Yeah, and the puh.
But mic technique is a really difficult thing to get. I'm still struggling with it.
Do you know something that I was thinking about before we decided we really were going to do a full-on podcast? I was experimenting with the idea, or thinking about the idea of doing one of these micro podcasts. There's a few different services. I think there's at least three different services now that encourage you to do the really short audio blogging. Mm. And that was kind of appealing as a way of getting over that hurdle of getting something out there. Mm. And when I looked at it, there was a lot more people than I expected active there and following and really engaging in these short daily diary clips or sort of audio clips.
I suppose it's like something that I've said on my blog, is that if you're going to use content marketing online, that video, text and audio reach out to different audiences and are in different spaces. Yeah. And is this what you and Pad are doing, that you're using audio to try and find a different audience?
Exactly. It's like my newsletter, which we also talked about during lunch, that I started doing a newsletter to reach out to the people who weren't daily online, Facebook and Twitter and all the rest of it, my normal channels that I'm present on every day. And that's worked. I've got hold of that audience of people, and they like the newsletter. And then this, again, is another channel in the mix, which adds to the time. But I know that we're going to reach people that we didn't reach with some of the other things that we're saying.
And do you think that's the benefit of the podcast, as well as it being a learning experience for you, an opportunity to test out a new communication channel, that it's a way of reaching other people?
Yeah, it is. It's a different format in a different situation.
And where's the podcast going to be in a year's time?
hopefully with a whole load of listeners who regularly listen to it, and a situation where people may be asked to appear on it. That's what you want, isn't it? People coming to you and wanting to feature on your podcast.
Exactly. So
help you write your content plan for you.
So where can people find you, James?
I'm Beantin on Twitter, and beantin.se is my blog. uspodcast.com is the podcast that me and Per Axborn.
All right, James. Well, good luck with the next episode, and we'll speak again soon.
Yeah, hopefully.
So that's about it for this episode. If you have a comment about the show or any questions, please send me a tweet on twitter.com/JohnBuskell, or you can email me at johnbuskell@gmail.com, and that's johnbuskall@gmail.com. If you like the show, it would be great if you wrote us a review on iTunes or gave us a shout out on Twitter to help grow the community of listeners to the Online Communications podcast. And I'll be back very soon with another edition, and I've got another surprise interview coming up. In the meantime, thanks very much for listening. This podcast was brought to you by Jontus Media, jontusmedia.com, for practical help and advice with all your online marketing and communications needs.